tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey, AfterBuzz! Welcome, happy Monday to all of you. If you are watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to us. And if you're listening to us on SoundCloud or iTunes, make sure to rate us 5 stars. I'm your host, Heather Joy Smith, and with me tonight is...
Alexis Torres.
Hey, guys!
Hey, I'm JJ Snyder. And more importantly, guess who we have in the house? Woo! Mr. Seamus Dever.
Hey, what's up, ladies?
Yay!
Happy to be here.
Welcome.
Finally, it took me a long time to get here. I mean, not just because traffic. It took me a long time. You guys have invited me many times. I'm glad I'm finally here.
Oh, my gosh. And we are glad you're here. You are, like, in the flesh.
In the flesh.
You're
live.
Here.
For
Alexis,
real.
Squeeze his arm. Is he really here?
I'm really here.
Yes.
He's here. Oh, my gosh. Finally, we have the real man behind the badge of Detective Kevin Ryan. Yes. On our favorite show, Castle, for 6 years now, started in 2009.
Yeah, 6.5 years. It's weird. We were mid-season, so we're always like, they're like, oh, it's 7 seasons, but 6.5 years technically. So, yeah.
And 147 episodes, which is like a lot of
And counting. Races. Yeah, I think we're getting on 150 pretty soon, so there'll be cake, I'm sure. There's always cake.
I love cake.
There's always cake. Oh, do you guys love donuts?
Yeah.
Shut up. Is there donuts?
I brought donuts.
No,
you didn't.
From
West
Hollywood.
No.
Oh, my God.
I thought we could, you know, just have some snacks.
Oh, my God. There's donuts.
You are the best.
This is like my favorite place. These are blueberry donuts, and these are red velvet donuts, so please.
So
I'm done, guys. Good night. I love you all.
Please have some. You're at home. I'm like blushing.
Let's smell them, Heather.
They're delicious. It's a lovely little place.
I'm so excited.
My wife's here. I highly recommend the blueberry. Well, I figured it was late and you guys have been working. See, there's like a little coaster for your thing, even though.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's a donut coaster. I feel obligated to go for the red velvet.
Please do.
Yeah, no, I have to get in there now.
Dig in. Come on. We got 12 of them to get through.
All right.
And a little bonus donut.
We're going to say screw the diet for tonight and we're
going to
go straight for the donuts.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, no, no. There's plenty.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, sure. Listen. I'm in the middle of bragging about you, but right now I can say, not only a generous guy who thinks about his
but the stomachs and the hunger of my fellow co-hosts.
Oh my God!
We
love it.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna brag about you a little more.
Oh my God!
People's Choice nominee,
so good
for
so good.
Favorite TV bromance, along with your co-host John Huertas.
Yeah, we're very excited about
Johnny.
That. We didn't win, but that's all right. And then they eliminated the category for this year. I have no idea.
So sad.
Did they?
It was like what, people are all of a sudden not caring about bromances? I have no idea.
But are bromances not in vogue anymore?
Right, exactly. Are they yes. out of style? Or
oh,
all
gosh.
Of a sudden?
It's definitely one of the best bromances on TV, though.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yep.
Indeed.
John is one of my good friends. We hang out a lot. We have some stuff coming up. I can't. Some great humorous moments on the show coming up. I can't even tease it because it's just it's too good.
Is this how it's
going to
be?
It's too good.
I know.
It's pure joy. I don't even know if I'm allowed to tease it. And then we have something coming up in the summer that's really amazing. I can't tell you anything about it.
These are the biggest.
But we've been working on it a lot.
It's not even fair.
Well, we have a really handsome picture of you both up here right now.
Oh, adorable.
Yeah, look at that.
And there's so many fans right now out there listening that are fans of Castle, of course, but you as an individual.
Word.
And so many of you folks know, but a little bit more about Seamus. Born in Michigan, raised in lovely Bullhead City, Arizona. I believe we have a graphic.
Do we?
Look at that.
That's a community college in the background. That's where my mom worked for, I don't know, 20 years, something like that, in the deep to the left. But yeah, that's where I grew up. Yeah, Bullhead City, Arizona. Population, I don't know, what is it, 25,000, something like that.
So, and it's really warm there.
It's hot. It, the hottest it ever got while I was there was 133. three.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there's, like, really no other, like, hot place in America where people actually live. Death Valley gets a little bit hotter, but not very many people live there. This is actually, people make the choice to move there, to spend their wow. golden years, usually in retirement, in the heat. And it's super hot, and, like, everybody walks around in flip-flops, and everybody has towels in their cars for their steering wheels. It's ridiculous. Like, all summer long, people are just steering with, like, beach towels. It's so
oh
stupid. And, like, every little piece of metal just, like, burns. Like, you get in the yeah. car, and then, like, the buckle of the seatbelt would just, like, you'd accidentally, like, lean on it, and you'd get a little surprise. It was a very interesting place to grow up. Super hot.
Well, you didn't stop there because you went to somewhere a little colder mm-hmm. for college, Carnegie Mellon.
Uh-huh. Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. This is where I went to grad school. I went to Northern Arizona University. That was cold as well. Also in Arizona, little did I know you can get like 4 feet of snow like overnight in Northern Arizona in Flagstaff. So then, Pittsburgh and Moscow as well. Get some.
After,
oh my gosh.
You can do it.
We're passing around the donuts.
We are.
So after Carnegie Mellon, then it seems like you really committed to acting. You attended the Moscow Art Theater, mm-hmm. which is, I mean, that's pretty serious.
Yeah. Stanislavski, all that. It was great. Spent some time over in Russia. I had some amazing teachers. Learned a lot from the horse's mouth. Not Stanislavski. He's dead. He died in like 1939. So, but his students and students of his students and everything. So, yes, it was a great education.
And you continue to work in the theater quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did for a while. It's hard to make it to rehearsals now, being on the show. But I think I did a play like 3 or 4 years ago, and so that was my last experience with.
Okay,
that, so.
Beautiful. Have we shown this little kid photo here? Did we already show this?
Oh my god.
That's my favorite picture.
Yes! Adorable.
I have an explanation for that photo. I think I have a little like scab on my chin or something. I used to fall down a lot. I still do. I cut myself a lot. I'm really accident prone. I'm a bleeder. What can I say? But like, I don't know how I get that. I must have fell on my face at some point. And that day was picture day, and my mom was so pissed at me because I used to hate combing my hair. It was like my least favorite thing in the world. And it was picture day. I didn't even bother. It was like my mom was so mad at my teachers. Like, how could you let him get his picture taken without even noticing that thing?
Totally.
So we had to do retakes, but that's a great souvenir that I
have awesome.
Of the day.
You got a little flyer there.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. A little?
Yeah. Just a little.
I think that was fifth grade, maybe. I don't know.
Oh,
so, yeah. Hilarious.
Adorable.
I love that picture.
All right. Jumping ahead a few years, I'm just going to wrap up by saying you're a proud Irishman.
I am. Tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day.
And we have a lovely photo of you and Juliana. You are also a dog lover mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. a husband.
Mm-hmm.
Aww. Yeah. Best Friends Animal Society. Yeah, that's our beagle Maisie, who's insane. We had a 2 a.m. possum attack in my backyard the other night. She just the beagles is sort of one of those things that you don't think about, but they're really trained to make like the loudest, worst noise available to human ears. Just in case they're needed for hunting. And she did that the other night at like 2 a.m. My neighbors probably hate me. And the thing is like the squirrels, she barks at squirrels too, which is a great thing. Whatever. The squirrels are fine. The squirrels disappear. They go, oh my God, someone's barking at me. But possums, they don't really care. They don't really give a shit. They stand there on the wall and they just are like, what are you going to do? I know you can't reach me. And they have this sort of attitude that you're like, oh no, this is going to just persist. This noise is just gonna keep going.
Oh,
and so you get out there with like, go possum, for your own good, for all everybody's ears.
Yeah,
get out of here, possum, go. Like she can never reach the possum, but it doesn't matter. The possum doesn't care. He shows that attitude. So every once in a while, and I just started finding raccoons in our neighborhood, so I hope there's never any run-ins with those,
because
those don't really back down. Those
no,
are like, what are you barking
evil.
At me for?
Yeah.
It's amazing the wildlife we actually have in the city in LA. I've seen coyotes on my street several times.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we live in the wilderness. They just happened to build a city in the wilderness and, like, didn't tell anybody.
Exactly. Let's go talk about the episode for tonight. Tonight's episode was Hong Kong Hustle.
Mm-hmm.
I really... she's doing
my hustle.
She's doing a little hustle.
You're doing the Hong Kong Hustle. Gotcha.
I was like, this is the hustle that I remember, but okay.
It was a different kind of hustle tonight, though. I mean, it was like... some crazy, like, magician-like hustling this lady did tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We totally talked about how I was going to butcher her name.
And Zhang.
Zhang. Oh. Thank you.
Oh, God, that name.
Zhang.
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 Like,
Zhang.
She's crazy.
Zhang. Like, we were all saying, like, we're, you know, kind of, you know, making it American sounding. Zhang.
Yeah.
Zhang. And they were like, no, no, it's very sharp. It was like, Zhang.
Zhang.
I'm like, what is the deal? Like, no, no, no. It's not Zhang. It's Zhang. And I'm like, what is the deal?
You kind of cross your eyes when you say that. Is that part of it?
It makes you feel like you should because it's just so sharp and painful. I'm like, really? We have to be that specific with it?
I was practicing. Like, Zhang. I was watching. I was like, I'm going to butcher the Zhang. Okay. Just get really into it.
I was like, fine. They want to be specific. Here we go. Zhang.
She's kind of amazing. I kind of want to be like her.
Yeah. She's awesome. Linda Park. She's a really good actress. She was on which one? Enterprise? Was that the one?
Yeah.
The Star
yeah,
Trek
Star
one?
Star Trek.
So, yeah.
We
lovely
some
girl.
Trekkies over here.
Oh, I see. Right very here. Good. Very good. She is a member of my theater company as well. Speaking of theater. So, yeah,
that's
yeah.
awesome.
So we have a past and some friends. She just got married to a friend of mine named Daniel Bess, who's on an episode of Firefly and a bunch of other stuff, 24 and some other cool stuff. So
wow.
And they're they're in New Zealand right now at a Star Trek convention. So
oh my gosh.
Along with a couple of my other friends from Star Trek as well. So like everyone's just sort of like having a convention, like let's just stay down here.
Yeah, I was supposed to be there, but I didn't want to miss you being.
Well,
it's
so good. Oh, yeah. There'll be a closer Star Trek convention. Somewhere in the United States.
Yeah, you don't need to go to New Zealand.
No, why would I ever do that?
Change that many time zones, right? I mean, New Zealand's terrible. It just looks awful in the Lord of the Rings movies. You don't really need to go there, right?
Poor Lex is dying inside right now.
Just a little bit.
So, Zhang.
Zhang.
Every time.
Zhang.
She's from Hong Kong. She's basically one of their top police investigation chief inspector is what they called her.
Chief Inspector Zhang.
Zhang, yes. You know, okay. Gonna get
I
to
won't
that.
Do that anymore. It's a terrible noise.
Yes, Beckett said she solved more murders than anybody else
anybody.
On the Hong Kong PD. So
yep.
She's big
she's
stuff.
Up there.
And I kind of like the little thing that Beckett had tonight with her. It was like. She was like, try not to have like a competition, but it definitely was a competition.
Yeah, the whole time.
The whole entire episode. And I kind of like seeing Beckett in that kind of like place because she's always the one who's kind of like, well, I can't really say in charge because, you know, she's not quite
yeah,
there
but
yet.
Yeah, but she's got, you she's know, she's always, the lady with the power.
Yeah,
the
she
heels.
Always has
yeah.
power
yeah.
and she's yeah. like confident in herself confident. And knows, you know, how to do her job. And
yeah.
and tonight we kind of saw her.
Throwing off balance a little
yeah,
bit.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It was competitive juices.
For me. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
It's been a while since they've played with that element on the show. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fun to see that come back a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was funny.
It was. And I liked, I really did like Zhang.
You're just going to giggle like, every single time.
Like, I can't not laugh
sorry,
when I say that name.
Yeah. Now. Now you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
You just need to commit.
Yeah.
Just come commit on. To
I'll
it.
Just
Heather.
Commit. Yeah. Just commit to it. I'm sorry.
See? There it is. I knew it.
But I really did like her, and I thought that, you know, she kind of carried this whole episode because she had, like, the inside knowledge on different situations that happened. But I felt like she kind of held back a lot of information as well. You know, like, when they got to the boxing ring, like, she, you know, told Beckett about, like, the coke and, like, the different situations that Henry had been in that she didn't give up, which she probably should have given up before.
Yeah, but she was having, you know, she was so emotional about losing Henry, so
true.
It kind of made sense of why she was kind of holding it back. Because I think at the same time, you know, at least for the audience-wise, we were supposed to be surprised at, like, oh, her life is not as perfect as we thought, or at least mostly for Kate.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that they hid that. But at the same time, I was kind of like, yeah, you probably should have said something. This case probably would have been a little easier.
Yeah.
But
you can't make everything too easy.
Yes, exactly. You know what's funny when you say that?
You got six acts to tease out.
Exactly. We always, like, at the very beginning, we're like, oh, it's so this person. Or
right.
It's so, in the middle, no, it's definitely that person. In this episode, it was like, there was
yeah, like, I don't
no
know. I don't even have a guess.
Way we would have guessed that it was going to be the hostess at the very end. No way.
No, you were lost.
It completely
was sort of like,
lost.
Okay.
She was so, like, which is good.
Yeah.
Because we want that. We don't want to be like, oh, we know who it is every week. You know, it's
what did Jonathan Frakes, because sometimes he directs, he says the bad guy's always the best actor in the first act, like basically before the first commercial. Like, whoever the best actor is that's right there, that's the one.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah,
no, like, we've talked about that.
Yeah. Oh, crap. I was like, they're on to us.
Mm-hmm. She, Alexis kind of mentioned at one point she thought it might have been the waitress.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then she attacked Mimi Tan, and I was like, oh, never mind. She's in love with him. That makes more sense.
Yeah. Whoa, where did this come from?
I liked it. But I also thought it was going to be Mimi Tan as well. Because
I totally thought it was going to be Mimi after we found out.
That's what
you know,
we wanted you to believe.
Yeah, the
primrose path towards that direction, yes. And then yank. Yep,
yeah, it's like, look over here. No, over here.
It's a little deception.
Gotcha.
Yeah, gotcha.
When you guys get your scripts, do you have, like, the whole thing out so you know, like, when you're shooting who is going to be
We get our scripts the night before we begin filming.
Really?
The day before, typically. Maybe if we're lucky, the morning before. We don't. So sometimes we start an episode and nobody's read the episode because it just got dumped in our email at like 7 or 8 o'clock, and you're just like, I just have to prepare my scenes for the next day. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. So, and then like in the course of that day, you're like, oh, that's who I'm talking about. Oh, it's okay. Now it all makes sense. So, sometimes it's like that. It's TV. They're cranking out, you know, 23, 24 episodes and, a lot of network notes and a lot of complicated stuff. So there's a lot of things where it always seems like everything's behind and losing locations, and you're sort of like, how does anything get done around here? But then it gets done. Sometime before filming, you know your lines, and you go. So that's sort of you get used to it after a while.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, okay, this is the way it is. But, you know.
For you as an actor, like, is there a difference in the way that you prepare or your anxiety? Like, in 2009, if you got a script the night before.
Yeah, I probably would have been panicked is probably a good word, but I would have been sort of like, well, I have no idea what to do tomorrow. I'm going to be playing catch up all tomorrow, and certainly doing it enough, you get some confidence in where this is headed. Because I think the biggest thing is you don't want to be the squeaky, that's not a bad metaphor, the squeaky wheel. You don't want to be the person that everyone sort of is waiting on, right?
Yeah.
You were going. As long as you're not that guy, you're good.
Yeah, you don't want to be that person because everyone's staring at you like you're fumbling over words, and there's nothing worse than that. You know, 60 people staring at you like, Seamus just can't get his lines right. So you don't want to be that person that slows everybody down. But once you realize that everyone's kind of in that position, you stop caring too much about being that one that look at, especially now, like after we've been doing it so long, like everyone who I work with are my friends, so they're not going to be like, oh, this guy just can't get his lines right. We could go to lunch if he would just get everything correct.
Yeah, you save that for all the guest stars, right?
Our poor guest stars that have to deal with that, yeah. Oh. It's one of those things. We have a nice sort of, you know what it's like on a castle. Everyone's very nice and patient and everything. So we just want you to do your best job. And so it makes it a little easier. And Nathan's very gracious and he's a good host and everything. So
that's true.
So he puts people sort of at ease, and that people are like, oh, okay, I like it here. I can do some good work. I'm relaxed and everything. So it's good. You know, it's a good environment to work in. Nobody wants to work in the high pressure environment of like, oh God, everyone hates each other. And it's just like, they're just staring at you and you're like, I'm about to get fired. Any moment someone's going to come in here and they're going to go, I'm sorry, you're fired.
Isn't that true just in general? Like, that's not the way people do their best work.
No.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, I was watching the movie Whiplash and just like noticing like, how could anybody play music under that circumstance? I don't understand at all. And that kind of idea is sort of anathema to work, creativity, art, anything, you know, take your pick. It's a good set. Frankly, we have the opposite. So there's a couple shows like us. NCIS is very much like that as well. Good set. Mark Harmon's a great host, and you feel comfortable there, and you want to do your best because of it. So it's a pretty cool thing.
Nice. I like hearing all that. Like,
I know. I was like, this is so interesting.
Oh, actors, like, we talk about this sort of thing. You're like, there's some, and believe me, I worked on shows where it's just like nobody talks to anybody. Mm-hmm. The leads don't introduce themselves to you. You might shoot like 3 or 4 scenes before anyone's sort of said, hi, I'm so-and-so. And you go, oh, wow, okay, yes, I've done 3 scenes with you now. And so I've been in that situation, and you're just like, get me out of here. I cannot wait to go home because I'm going to try to do my best work, but I really don't feel welcome. So, you know, it's nice that people want the opposite.
Yeah. And with Castle, too, you guys have, you know, the few of you that have been there year after year after year. And then each episode, you definitely have those guest stars that are kind of, like, rotated through. So I could see kind of, you know, you have, like, your group and then you got the newbies and you got to kind of work together and stuff. So I think that's good that you guys are so, like, open to them because you do have so many guest stars.
Yeah, you know, a lot
in.
Of times they're my friends. The next week, we'll save this for later. We had a slew of guest stars on that episode, and I got to work very closely, and I knew almost all of them.
From
things I've worked on in the past, shows that they've been on, or just friends that I had from being in L.A. And that tends to happen.
Uh-huh.
So the more that you sort of run into people, it becomes very much like, oh, I just get to hang out with my buddy all day.
Yeah.
And have scenes with them. It's pretty awesome.
That's next week's episode, At Close Range, that you have a really big part in that we're going to talk about later.
Yes. We'll save that for later.
Yeah.
Do you want to say it's up to you?
Sure.
Should we jump ahead? Are we done recapping?
I don't want to jump ahead since I butchered her name enough times.
I think I did too. I think I'm saying it wrong. Jean. It's this. Yeah.
Well, okay. I think we all can agree, especially at least the women watching it together, that we thought she was like a great addition.
She was awesome.
It was Alexa. Fun, yeah.
Yeah,
I would love to see her come back. Yeah.
Yes.
Check that fight. Which one? The one in
all
the
of them.
In the box.
All of them.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, it was like a girl power episode.
Yeah.
Speaking of girl
power, we just totally skipped over the fact that the first person that she really popped in the face was you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. We have to talk about that.
She disarms me, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's the thing with
aggressively.
Aggressively. Yeah. It becomes a whoa. The moment of the disarm. That was a funny sort of scene because the way the room was set up, I go one way and Espo goes the other, and like we cross each other, but you're not supposed to know that. I actually haven't seen the episode yet. I can't wait to see how that all worked out because I was like, really? It's going to look like disorienting because it looks like, oh, we just passed each other and like, oh, they didn't see? Like, there's no one hiding here. There's no possible person. But that's the magic, right? Is that she's hiding somewhere. We don't know where she is. And then all of a sudden, gun to your temple. I can't wait to see that moment. See how
I feel like
it
went,
so it was fun.
It went super fast.
It was
before you even could figure out like in your head what was going on, she had both the guns up and it was like, whoa.
Well, it was this cool thing because it was sort of like, she was like, okay, I put one gun in there. I was like, no. And I let her down this direction. I don't know. But the whole John Woo thing with the guns spread out on both sides. I was like, go do it. It's badass. Go for it.
Awesome.
Yeah. She's like, gets the thing and shunk and you're like, okay, all right. We're both going to die. This is how we meet our demise.
Aww. Yeah. But we know that's not going to happen.
No, it's not
going to
happen. Nobody ever dies in Castle.
No. We talk about this almost every week, though. We're like,
what?
We're like, oh, like Beckett almost died. Oh, Castle. They're not going to have them killed off yet.
It's not Walking Dead.
No.
You know, like people dying in like middle of the season. And be like, if they die, they're going to die at the end of the season.
Yeah. Like, and then what are they going to change the name to?
Right, exactly.
So we won't really, really get nervous until the series finale.
Whenever that is. Everybody dies.
Yeah.
The last episode.
Everyone's dead. You're like, wow, okay, that's the way it happened. This whole time, happily ever. Let's see what happens.
Nope.
Everyone's dead.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be able to handle that if that actually happens. Just never see Alexis ever
again.
We'll
have like morning music in here.
It's like, wow, this is a really bummer ending.
Yeah.
I think it was going to end like that.
So let's get into At Close Range.
Let's get into it.
Next week's episode.
Okay, so while you chew on that, everyone take a bite of your donut, by the way. Come on, donut break.
They're good, they're
donut
blueberry.
Donut break, everybody.
Did you get the, you gotta try the blueberry one
next.
You
guys got the fancy ones.
Oh, you got blueberry? I got
blueberry.
Red Velvet.
They're like
what'd
my favorite.
I'm saving one for later.
Very few people make blueberry donuts. But tasty donuts on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Shout out for the donuts.
Mm-hmm. Tasty donuts.
Okay. At Close Range, this episode that we're going to see next week, Detective Kevin Ryan, sitting right here in front of us, is on security detail of a charismatic congressman attending a charity event when shots suddenly ring out.
Boom, boom.
Driven to apprehend the killer, Ryan must revisit the events.
Mm-hmm. A great guest cast. The congressman is played by Ricardo Chavarria.
Oh!
from Desperate Housewives. Yeah. Lovely, lovely man. It was nice to get to know him.
Nice.
The things that he has been through, you know, for the 8 seasons of Desperate Housewives. So I asked him lots of questions. I was like, tell me, what is it like in that 8th season? Tell me. How does your life change when you renegotiate things? Tell me, Ricardo, tell me. No, he was a lovely man. Been through it. And so he knows the way it works, on a show such as ours. My friend Annie Little plays this, woman who is, part of the charity event that we're working security detail. Did I forget to mention that? So Ryan's, you know, he's doing his moonlighting thing. Mm-hmm. And he has a brother-in-law, who's married to his sister, who runs a security business. And so they're security detail for the congressman, a charity fundraiser at a hotel. And that's when the shots fire out. But yeah, my friend Annie Little, who played, the flight attendant in, Argo. If you remember the Swiss Air flight attendant. Yeah, she's in it too. So,
I do remember her.
You know, good friend of mine. A few other people. And David Conrad, of course, who I got to work with, on Ghost Whisperer, years ago. We did an episode where we were on the Queen Mary. So I got to hang out with David a lot. We played squash in the episode, so we took squash lessons from this guy. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. So the fact that like David was the guy who came around, we share the same casting director. So I think it was sort of like, hey, how about David for this part of Seamus's brother-in-law? So I was like, oh, perfect. And so it was really great because I had a relationship with him already and we've worked together. And so we were able to kind of open up, which is really cool. Heather Mazur playing my sister. You actually get to meet my sister.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
About
this is big.
Family for years that Ryan has 2 older sisters, uh-huh. And we finally get to meet one of them.
Nice.
Yeah,
awesome.
148 episodes and we finally get to meet Ryan's sister. And Heather Mazur, she went to Carnegie Mellon,
I've known Heather for a long time. Visit.
I know, she never visits like she used to.
Horrible sister.
I know, right? Why doesn't she ever visit? Just pick up a phone every once in a while, right?
Not that hard.
Like, what am I, out on an island?
Yeah.
Come on, I'm on Leper Island here, go find me, visit me. Heather, I know from Pittsburgh, from Carnegie Mellon. So it's sort of a nice thing. Like, it all worked out. Like, I happen to know, like, almost the entire guest cast.
That's awesome. That's
so fun, though. It was really cool.
What is Ryan going to do in this episode?
He basically, it becomes his story, and finding out the killer becomes something that he gets obsessed with. And it hits very close to home. So it's sort of one of those things that... Ryan had to tease it out and be that kind of that. I there were days that went by where I didn't see John, didn't see Stana, didn't see Nathan.
What?
Yeah,
crazy.
No.
Wow.
And these locations, you're like, hey guys, I haven't seen you for forever. I've been here filming. And, so it was sort of one of those things. Sometimes we're like, wait a minute, is this Castle? They tend to do that with my episodes where like the rest of the cast just disappears and they get like a week off and they come back and like, how's it been going? It's like, oh good. I've been running every single day. Like literally running. Every single day for like chase scenes and stuff like that. So they tend to give me a lot of like action type stuff. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I have noticed that actually.
Yes. A lot of running around, a lot of guns, a lot of that sort of stuff.
I was going to say weapons.
Well, I think what it is that you see Ryan with a sweater vest and you see him in this very sort of conservative look. And so they like to play against that of like, you know, the possibility of the action stuff. So it's kind of fun to open that up, that avenue up, that it's sort of like, well, you expect him to, I don't know, do paperwork or maybe go visit the bank, maybe renegotiate a loan. Something like that, but not like pull his gun out and run down an alley.
Is it weird that I would love to see an episode of Detective Ryan trying to negotiate alone? That would be
weird.
Really funny.
It's like I'm going to refi our mortgage. Okay. We go through, do some paperwork.
There could be a holdup at
my
the
taxes.
Bank. Yeah, that's what I meant. Ooh, it would be really funny.
Hold up at the bank. Like, no, I have to file. It's April 15th. I have to the end of the day.
Slow motion.
Slow motion.
It would be great.
Signing paperwork. No. Stamp notarized. You know, yeah, that would be ridiculous.
But
Yes, you're weird. You're weird for thinking that would be amazing.
That's why I didn't. I mean, I had to say it now.
The last episode of Castle ever.
I mean,
before they all die.
Yes, before they all die.
Before they all die of like carbon monoxide poisoning the next day or something. They're all in a room or something. And they're like, wow, they just died. Really silent. They just went to bed and that was it.
See, you literally just got an insert into Alexis's brain. But no, I really like all of Detective Ryan's episodes. They're my favorite, is just because Heather and I have talked about this in
you
the beginning
really
of the season.
You have really good taste, by the way.
Wow.
Thank you. But at the same time, I always talked about how, like, I always want to know about Ryan's past or whatever, or any of his family, because we don't get to see them very often. Same thing with Esposito. I would like to know more about that. Mostly, I'm on the Lainey Esposito train, where I would like to see their relationship grow.
You'd like to see them do it.
Yes. More. A lot of time.
I'm tired of... You know, Castle and Beckett, we see you guys lovey-dovey all the time. Let's change it up. You know, of course, I miss Jenny. And, you know, and we have a lot of fan questions that are like, is she coming back? We haven't seen her all season.
Juliana gets that question all the time.
She does, every day on Twitter, right? Yeah, she's probably tired of it.
So why don't we just settle the score for her? So if you're wondering when Jenny is coming back onto a Castle episode, the answer is...
I have no idea.
And neither does she.
I was really hoping for
nothing so far. It would be great to see her this season, but we haven't yet, so I don't know. I don't know.
Like you said, you don't get the scripts to the day before.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't know.
So it might be a surprise that she's like, oh, she's the next one. So, yeah. But I don't know. Hopefully, yes. It would be nice to see her. We haven't seen her since she gave birth and everything. So, yeah, it's sort of...
Yeah, that's why I was like, I need her back in my life. Yeah. I want to have the baby.
Right?
I haven't seen the baby.
No.
I would like to see her.
I hope see, here's the thing. Filming with children is a pain in the
ass. Of course.
Ass.
Yeah.
Of course.
So, I'm hoping that they're not like, well, we have to see the baby, you know, if they're gonna bring Jenny on. It's like, well, can't we just go on a date or something like that? Because babies bring a whole new element of like the clock's ticking. You have 15 minutes for a baby. Remember the baby episode that... Was it last season? I guess it was. With how we found the baby in the church.
Yep.
And that was sort of the thing. Is Castle playing like that? Well, those were four babies
four babies.
We used, and we had 15 minutes with each of them.
Oh my god!
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So that's close ups. That's like their step on set. The clock's ticking.
That's
at this
union.
Point.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Child labor laws. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had the baby for that amount of time, and if there was a problem, like the baby was just crying, it's like, okay, well, no, this is not going to work out with this. Okay, get rid of this baby. Bring a fresh baby in. Bring a fresh baby. Fresh baby, new stopwatch.
Click. Oh,
there's
again. Goodness.
And you're like, okay. So there's a lot of like pressure to like shoot in a very specific way. So I think people are very active to not put us through that because it gets very problematic with just your simple practical law scheduling.
Yeah.
It was an interesting thing.
Those newborn divas.
Oh. So we might
know, right?
How dare they?
We might have to wait for the toddler.
Yes. It would be nice to see Jenny, like we go on a date or something.
I just miss her.
So.
You know,
yes,
I would like to
you.
See you guys together.
I miss her too.
Yeah.
Have you guys wrapped this season?
No.
No, we're still shooting.
What are we doing? Today we just started episode, 21. So we have two left for the season. So,
snaps. Getting close.
Two left, It's crazy.
I'm so excited.
It's crazy. It's ticking. The clock is ticking towards the end.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, while we're speaking about the end, I wonder if we should just bring up one of the most frequent questions that we got today from our Twitter feed.
Yes,
and thank you all for contributing to the Twitter
feed. Thank you, Twitter. Thank you for your questions, Twitter.
Will there be a season 8?
Dun, dun, dun.
Will there be? Crew members ask me whether there's going to be a season 8 almost every day. My agents ask me if there's going to be a season 8 every day. My mother-in-law and my mother, they ask if it's very important that I get secure work for the future. I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
We're talking right now. But some people are talking, I guess. I don't know. No one started to talk to us. Yet, so I'm in the dark about most things involving that. I'd like to find out if we're doing something, if I need to start auditioning or not. It's been like 7 years since I've had to find a job, so it would be nice to know these sorts of things. But so I'm in the dark just as much as the rest of America. And that's not hyperbole. That's not a lie. I swear. I don't know. Hopefully, we'll find out soon.
Within the next 2 episodes that you're filming.
I hope so, because if it is the end, it would be nice to end it in a way where it feels sort of final, right? But I don't know. Yeah. It would be nice to know these things. These are good questions.
Oh, yeah. No,
I don't know Twitter. I really don't know. I have no idea if there's going to be season 8 or not.
Retweeting and retweeting. Yep. They're like, ask him about season 8. We're like, okay, fine, we'll do it. All right.
I wish I knew. Relax. I wish I knew. It would be nice to know.
we'll
find out. Good question.
We'll find out.
Next question.
In the meanwhile, you have a film project going on that is super interesting.
Oh, thank you.
This is a crowdfunding project on Indiegogo. Mm-hmm. That means that you are raising all the money to shoot the project on the Indiegogo website.
Yes.
It is called The Extraordinary Farewell. And you play a magician.
Yes, H. Henry Locke, who's the world's most famous magician. It takes place in 1950. He has made certain compromises in his life to get to the position of being the world's most famous magician. And now he finds himself trying to undo a dire bargain with an evil and mysterious power. So the movie's about sort of the origin of magic and our perception of what magic is. So yes, there's the magic and the magician element. It's also a period piece. But it's really sort of this idea of someone committing his soul to something and then finding out that there's the possibility of tricking a certain party. It's a very, very Faust type retelling of that same story. It's with Marcia Thomason from White Collar. My friend Zach Kranzler, who's the director and the writer. Who's actually on an episode of Firefly, funny enough. So he used to be an actor himself. So he's a filmmaker. We're raising on Indiegogo. We're doing it ourselves. It's one of those things sort of like, let's see what we can do because we're not like really big stars or anything. We have some following, some fans, but it's sort of one of those things like, can we do this kind of project without attaching like a huge name? And can we do it independently through the crowdfunding? So yeah, Indiegogo is providing us that opportunity.
Which is excellent. You've made a lot of progress. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many weeks you are into the actual launch.
A couple weeks into the campaign.
A couple weeks into the campaign. Already almost $100,000.
Yes.
From, you were telling me before we came in here today, these aren't just big donations. You can donate all sorts of various sums starting at
like a dollar. You started a dollar.
Oh, he'll take your dollar.
I'll take a dollar. I'll do it. No, yeah, you can go on there. You can pledge $5, $10. There's some really cool perks. Some fun things coming up tomorrow for St. Patrick's Day. Some very Irish themed elements going on there. So some really cool perks that people can look at and claim. So
I saw some of those perks. First, if you donate $75 to the project, you get an on-screen thank you. So you get your name at the end of the project.
So cool.
This one is already sold out. This is a big ticket item. Dinner with Seamus Dever.
Yeah. I give good dinner. A lot of people don't know that. I'm excellent.
And
I provide
dessert.
Sparkling
yes,
conversation, donuts.
Donuts.
We can go someplace that doesn't serve donuts if you wish. that's a fun one. I actually enjoy that. I've done it a few times with a couple different charities for Castle. I tend to have a lot of lunch with Susan Sullivan for some reason. Because we're part of the same
fun.
Theater company. Oh, it's lovely. We have lovely lunches together. But yes, it's sort of a fun way to get to know people too. Because usually like fans of Castle, they're very polite. They ask very good questions. They bring me gifts, which they don't have to do that.
Aww.
It's like amazing. But people fly in from all around the world to like have lunch and everything. I like to provide an enjoyable time and a fun experience. So.
Well, you in addition to dinner, and I can speak to this because I have been with you on the set of Castle.
It's
but
true.
For $2,500, now this is a big donation. You get to come to the set and talk. Have Seamus give you a tour.
We're going to have the part of the thing about being a period piece, and we shot a teaser trailer for this last month, and so we rented the Los Angeles Theater downtown. It's really cool, like going to see behind the scenes and watching a movie being filmed. Yes, it's probably very educational, informative. Probably like, wow, it takes forever to do these sorts of things. Why is it so slow of a process? But along with that is all of our locations, and we're gonna have some really cool locations. There's like a hotel that we're going to rent out that I have a place in mind. That's a very historic place. Hopefully here in Los Angeles. There's there's the theater element, and so there's these big movie palaces that you can just wander around and get lost and sort of like visit the past. Places that are closed to the public. The public doesn't get to walk around these places, but you know, but you rent them for movie locations. Certainly being on Castle, I've seen some really cool places that are not open to the general public. So that's part of the experience as well. You go tour and watch us film. So and ask lots of questions. I love people coming to visit and asking questions.
That's so cool. Well. That's so awesome. Fans have till April 18th. If you want to be part of that campaign, like Seamus said, you can donate any small amount. And in your honor and in support of you, Alexis, Heather, and I made a donation today.
Did you?
We did.
Oh, you guys are so sweet.
Yes. Aww. So does this mean we're like co-producers?
Totally.
I don't know. Is that part of it? Yes, sure. I'll call you a co-producer. Yes. I brought donuts.
I know. That's right.
No, thank you so much, ladies. That's very sweet of you. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Okay, well, that's extremely exciting. We have so many questions.
We have a lot of
Twitter
questions
followers.
From
oh, okay.
Twitter.
Yeah, ask them. Are they all? Are we going to see Jenny and
a lot of them are like that.
There's
a lot of
we might. Yeah.
How do I tell you? I don't know.
I mean, I don't even know where to start.
First, we do want to give a shout out to Monica Tam on Twitter. She's a huge Castle fan. She also has a little following of Castle followers.
Yo, Monica, what's up, girl? What's up, girl? Shout out. Twitter. Monica.
She's going to die.
She's really going to die. So her Twitter handle is at Monica Tam LA. So thank you, Monica,
for your support.
We love you.
Thank you so much, girl.
I have a shout out. It's for my best friend's mother. Who's actually, her name is Belinda Lee.
Belinda Lee.
And she has been watching since day one. And you are her favorite.
I am?
I promised that
Belinda,
I would let her know.
I love your taste, Belinda. You have amazing taste in Castle series regulars.
So I had to do that. She was like, you're going to see my boy. You better say something. And I was like, all right.
Thanks, Belinda. Hi. That wave was just for you.
Oh, she's going to love that. I can't wait. We have a few of them. Most of them are usually asking, like, what's the best part of being on the Castle cast?
Oh, cool.
And, you know, like, how's it
did
feel?
Did anybody ask who's the biggest prankster?
Yes, that was me.
Who
is it?
Oh, God, nobody, we don't. Okay, so I have a theory about this question. Okay. I get asked a lot, almost every interview I do. There seems to be a spirit of conviviality that people get when they watch Castle. It seems like we're having a good time, which we are, but we're not messing around all day,
not
trying to prank each other. Like, oh, look what I did to your trailer. I painted the entire inside. With what time? Yeah, how did you do this? I got up at 3 a.m. And I saved all the dog poop in the neighborhood.
Oh, Lord.
And I put it all over your trailer, bro. Oh, prank God. You. No, and come on. We have to film a TV show. We have
sense.
A lot of... We have eight and a half pages a day to film. So, no, I think it seems like we have a good time on set, and that comes through. People also ask if we make up our own dialogue sometimes, and the answer is usually no. It just seems like we're having a good time with it, and it comes out of our mouth. I think it's a compliment to our writers that it comes out. But so, yeah, we're pretty by the book. We don't mess around too much and everything. So nobody's really played a prank in years. I think maybe season 3 was the last time. Someone played a prank, and it was John Huertas on me.
Oh, it would be John.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
He put zip ties on my axle of my car.
What?
My brand new car.
Oh my gosh.
And I took it to the dealership. And it was great, though, because here's so it was like a brand new car. I was really proud of it. It was my first new car since I'd been on Castle. I had like a 2000 Mustang that for 10 years. So I finally bought an Audi, and I was like, okay, this is my new car. John thought it was really a grown-up car, right? It was sort of a mom car, to be honest, but it was a grown-up car, car. And so there, so you put zip ties, which is an old trick that, you know, people do the plastic. And so like every time your car goes around, the axle goes, and you go faster and then it slows down. So I didn't know who it was, but I knew it was either John or Nathan. It was one of those two bastards and that did it. And I kept it quiet because I realized what it was. So I went to the dealership it took them exactly 2 seconds. I was like, it's making a noise. I don't know what it is. Like, the car's like a week old. Can you put it up on and find out? So they put it up on the hoist. They come around.
Oh,
it's really great. It's really great because the guy comes up to me and he goes, someone mad at you.
Oh, my. gosh.
And I go, what do you mean? Because, follow me. And he takes me to the back of my car's up there. He's like, do you notice that these were on your axle? And the mechanic's laughing. He's got like a cutter in his hand. He's got these things. He's like, we found these on the axle. I was like, I work with some terrible people. I was like, do you watch Castle? It's one of them bastards who did it. And so here's what happens when someone plays a prank on you. The satisfaction of getting the prank played on you, only exists if you allow it to happen. I took the satisfaction away of that. I planted a story, and I hinted it. I was waiting for whoever brought it up. Cause I said, yeah, there was a problem with my car. I had to take it in.
You did.
And I waited for who brought it up. Cause they needed that satisfaction. You have to have that satisfaction. Mm-hmm. If the satisfaction happens off screen, it didn't exist. It's not, you don't get the chance to laugh at anybody.
Yep.
So I didn't allow them to have that. And I waited, and it was John who brought it up. And so Nathan didn't mention anything. So I was like, it's gotta be John. And then when John asked, I go, yeah, still in the shop. I made sure I rode my bike to work.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, for a couple days. So I made it seem like I hid my car so that, like, he's like, how's your car, man? Hey, your car's still in the shop.
My word.
And I said, yeah, I don't know. They said there was a problem with it. Something melted and got stuck around. And it's going to cost about $1,000 to repair it. And he's like, whoa, that's a bummer, bro. And I let it drop. I never let him off the hook.
I forgot.
I knew it was him, but I didn't want to give him the satisfaction. So I was going to bring it up some point. And then I remembered at Comic-Con when we were doing our panel, because we got asked that question, the prank question again. And I brought it up at that point. So it, like, and the video exists out there. It's very funny because you can see John's face as the realization comes over that he got kind of psychologically pranked back.
Uh-huh.
What is that called? Blowback?
Yeah.
he got a little bit of blowback in front of 3,000 people at Comic-Con.
Nice.
And so there's a great silent thing that you see the sort of the warmth sort of melt over John's face. And he's like, and he's laughing. He's like, oh my God, that was me. Anyway, so that was probably the last prank that I
that
heard of getting done.
Awesome,
I think that's a great
answer
prank.
To that question,
just remember that
though.
If someone ever pranks you, they need that satisfaction.
Yeah.
So if they're really sort of like hinting at that satisfaction, they're the guilty party.
Yeah.
They're the one who did it.
Because
without that satisfaction, a prank is nothing. Remember that.
You're
remember
a smart
that,
one, Seamus Dever.
It's all psychological.
I'd like to tell you about a little love you got from a fan named Brittany. She's at our Melvin fan, and she says, so happy for all his success. Been following his career since GH.
Oh, the old General Hospital. Yes, yes. Yeah, that doesn't seem so long ago, even though it's like 8 years ago. But, General Hospital, good times, good people, fun folks.
I have Serena Pelzari. I apologize if I mess it up. I know she's definitely not in the U.S., so she sends her love from wherever she's at.
Serena Pelzari.
There you go.
She's Italian now.
Yep.
I think so. She got those two
is.
Z's.
Yeah, I'm going to assume yes.
Pelzari.
But she said, what is your favorite episode of Castle?
Oh, there's a few of them now. It might be selfish of me, but some of the funnier ones are kind of my favorite. But I like the Ryan-centric ones just because there was so much invested and I put so much, you know, blood, sweat, and tears into this one. Oh, I got a story about... this episode next week, I punch a mirror in like the first 3 seconds of the thing. I'll tweet a picture next week of that. But like, they're like, you punched that mirror, and like, yeah, and I really bled a lot. And he's like, because it's not a mirror. It's a fake mirror. It's like a studio movie mirror. But you still bleed when glass cuts your knuckles open.
Dear
so
God.
So yeah, it's those ones that I sort of like. Okay, I sweat a lot. I was exhausted at the end of the day, and I look back and I'm kind of proud on those. So I guess so those are probably my favorite. I don't know. Wild Rover was great. The Under Fire last year with the burning building and Jenny
That's
outside.
That's my favorite Ryan episode.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My wife was so good in that episode.
She was.
And we really worked on that phone call scene a lot. We actually got to rehearse that, which is really cool. That never happens in TV. So that's one of my favorite one. I think this one next week is going to be one of my favorites too. Kick the Ballistics too, the Ryan one in season 4. I mean, there's lots of good ones where we did. One of my favorite ones that sticks out is always Double Down. From season 2, the bet one,
yes.
Where Castle, because that was really our first sort of indication about where the show could go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly there was the Castle Beckett thing, but in the second season, they kind of started opening up to allow Ryan and Esposito to do a lot more. And there was a lot of comedy in that episode, and it was like it was generated just from behavior. And when we experienced that, I said, okay, oh, this show has the possibility of doing that. We're not just a crime. We're not just cops, but we have the ability to do comedy. You're sort of like, oh, okay, what else is going to be in store for us? So, that's sort of one of my, that stands out as most people's, you know, favorite episode that still sticks around, after all these years. So,
last one, which is from, Elisa Matar. What is the best and worst thing about playing Detective Ryan on hashtag Castle?
Let's start with the worst thing. I wear ties almost every single day.
Oh, and I like
suits.
Your ties.
I like them too. Hour 4 or 5, when the starched collar just keeps digging into your neck.
Oh yeah.
And you know that it's just rubbing. You know that after, when you take off that shirt, there's gonna be a big red line on your neck that's just sitting there. You're like, I look really great, and this is painful. That's probably the worst thing. Is I mean, I love my wardrobe. It looks great. The 3-piece suits look great, but 3-piece suits are not terribly comfortable to sit around in 12 hours and run around and with guns and stuff. So,
by the way, we did find out when we had Luke Reichley on the show that all your suits are custom made.
They are.
Do you need to keep them?
Probably not. I think they all are owned by Disney. Mm. They're all barcoded.
That makes sense. I actually
borrowed one once, and they had an audit. Because Disney came by and they checked all the stock, and they were like, there's 3 suits missing. And they were like, what a shame, he's stealing his suits. So like, you know, $1,500 a piece of these suits. I had borrowed a couple for events. And I had returned them, and then they went to the tailor. So I didn't even have them. And they were like, Seamus, where's your suits and everything? So they keep track of those sorts of things. You cannot walk away with a single thing. So I don't know, maybe after it's all over, they'll let me have them. They'll probably be out of style at that point. It'd be like, those suits made 10 years ago.
The ones 8 years ago, you're like, I don't want them anymore.
Nobody's wearing 3-piece suits anymore. It's all double-breasted Nehru jackets. Nobody's wearing those anymore. Those are great suits, yeah. But the wardrobe is sort of one of those things. Some days I just want to look like Esposito, not wearing a tie, wearing a leather jacket. Sort of like, that looks really comfortable.
But you're really sharp, and I like that.
Well, thank you. Luke dresses me very well. I think it's part of the personality of the character coming out, and Luke's done a great job of magnifying that. So that's probably the worst is all that. That being said, Luke... They're a pain in the ass, Luke. The best part, working with great people, working with John, Nathan, and Stana, and now they're some of my like best friends after working all this long. I've never, and all of us say the same thing, like none of us have worked this long with somebody or at a job. Mm-hmm. I was having this conversation with Stana. I was like, have you ever had a job that was 7 years long? Like, no, I never have. I've been fired out of a lot of jobs after 2 years. So it's amazing. It's a miracle that I'm doing this for forever. So, you know, through all of that, we've maintained friendships and we enjoy working with each other, and we still make each other laugh. So that's probably the best part is all the people I get to see every day, especially John. I get to see a whole lot of John. A lot. And it's good. And it's still
and
good.
We love
he
it.
Makes
we
me laugh. It. I make love him it. Laugh. He makes me laugh. And we got cool stuff coming. Oh, God, I wish I could tell you.
Stop it.
No, please. I can't. I'm so excited about something that we are currently working on, and I cannot tell you, and it's killing me.
Well, I predict it's in season 7, because otherwise you wouldn't
so
know about
good.
It.
It's so good. Your minds will melt when you see this thing that we're doing.
Yeah, it must be in season 7, because he said he doesn't know about season 8, so it must be really
it's got to be in the next few episodes.
It'll happen soon, but it's just so damn good. Anyway, I'm going to stop saying it.
It's killing me inside.
It's going to be...
Is it in the next episode?
It's going to be good. Basically, okay, what I'm saying is there's something that we are doing right now and that when the crew who we work with all the time, when we tell them what we're doing, they get big smiles on their faces. And these are people that we see all the time, and they laugh and they smile at you. And so...
It must be like some really amazing stuff.
I can't say anything, and it's killing me. I'm so sorry. Nothing like that. Something a new. Let's just say a new side to Esposito and Ryan. That's the only thing I'll say.
Oh my gosh! I can't.
That's all I'm gonna say. And, like, it's not they have, like, a gay relationship or anything like that. And that's not what I'm talking about. No. I knew you were thinking that. No, that's what they want. That's what you want, isn't it? No. It's a new side. It's something. And I'm going to stop talking about it because I just, I can't.
Jeez.
And John's going to kill me if I say anything to it.
Leaving on a tease.
I have top my line. Secret. I have a last, oh, my last question. Last question.
Okay. Man, okay.
So this is from Marina. She said, what are his wishes for season 8? Since obviously I know that you don't know anything, but what are your wishes for? And
to have one.
That's good. That's all I got.
Those are my wishes. Expanding the mythology of Ryan and Esposito and seeing what else we can do. So, yeah. Yes, that's my hope. And that it actually exists. So, yeah. Marina, that one's for you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much
thank
for joining
you
us.
So
absolutely.
Much.
This was a lot of fun.
So much fun.
You ladies are lovely hosts. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let everybody know where they can find you on Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff if you have it.
Yeah. At Seamus Dever on Twitter. I'm at Seamus Patrick Dever on Instagram.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Switched it up a little bit through my middle name.
I like it.
Happy
I
St.
Like
Patrick's Patrick. Day
Patrick.
Tomorrow.
Day tomorrow.
Super Irish tomorrow. I'm normally not Irish at all, except for tomorrow, very Irish.
I love it. Alexis, let them know where they can find you on social media.
You can find me on all the social medias at atorres890. That's A-T-O-R-R-E-S 890. And you can also find me here at AfterBuzz for Face Off and Castle.
Hey, I'm JJ Snyder. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at J2Snyder. And check out my YouTube page where I have some additional Castle videos to look at.
Yes. You guys can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at Heather Joy Smith and Tuesday nights for Chasing Life and Pretty Little Liars. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been so much fun having you here. And thank you for the donuts.
You're welcome. Eat up. There's a lot more to eat, okay? I expect this box to be empty.
All right, here we go.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.